Amen. Isn't the Lord's faithfulness to us so wonderful? We've been talking about the faithfulness of the Lord for the last couple of Thursday nights, and God is so faithful to us, isn't he? Amen. It's so great to be in the house of the Lord today. Why don't you take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 19. In Psalms 126 and verse 6, we're going to go from Luke 13, verses 18 through 19, to Psalms 126 and verse 6. Amen. It's great. Word of the Lord is wonderful. Amen. It does things. It encourages you. It helps you. Why don't you read with me, if you would? Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? Whereunto shall I resemble it? Reading from the King James. It is like a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and it waxed a great tree. Everybody say a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Going back to Psalms 126 and verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And with the help of the Lord today, I'd like to preach to you about the miracle of the seed. Everybody say the miracle of the seed. Why don't you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, God. We pray that you touch our minds and our spirits today, Lord. Help us to open our hearts, Lord, to receive the word of God today, Lord, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, Lord. And we ask your touch upon us, Lord, as we preach the word of God today. And everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Seed is a very insignificant in size, excuse me. A seed, you got that picture up there, Brother Tayo, that we talked about back there, and there's a handful of mustard seed, and there's a mustard tree. And the seed is very, very insignificant in size. If you've ever bought some of this stuff at the store, it's very, very small. But it is, whatever kind of seed it is, it's one of the most powerful things that exist in all of God's creation, because out of seeds come life. Amen. The word of God uses the example here of the mustard seed. If you've ever seen, as I said, a mustard seed, you're going to find it to be a very small and very insignificant little seed. It has a hard little shell. It doesn't look like much. It doesn't seem like much. But out of this little old seed, the scripture said, waxes a great tree. Use the King James instead of the NIV, because the NIV is so lacking in its descriptiveness here. It just says it's a tree. Well, is that a big tree? Is it a little tree? I've seen little Japanese bonsai trees, a little small thing. No, but it tells us it was a great, or it was a large tree. And here we have up on the screen a picture of that mustard tree. And although they vary in size, they can be great. They can be very large trees. And here is one of the miracle aspects of the seed. Once planted, the seed itself is responsible for its own growth. Did you hear that today? Consider this illustration. A sower, the Bible talks about a sower that had took some seed out to sow, but a sower has a bag of seed, and today he has mustard seed. He plants that mustard seed, and then he hesitates, and he says, you know, just before he's about to plant it, he says, I don't know whether I have the ability or I even have the faith to plant this little, tiny, little seed. The mustard tree is a great tree. It will grow tall and have great branches. How can this little seed create such a magnificent tree? The job is too big for me, perhaps he might say, but the sower is not supposed to create the mustard tree. All the sower is required to do is put the seed into the ground. You see, the miracle is in the seed. The miracle is not in the hand of the sower. Let me use another illustration. The same sower takes a bag of corn into a field. And up until the time the seed leaves the bag and is planted into the ground, he can't say, I've got a harvest. He can't say, I've got a field of corn. He can't say, I've got nothing, because he's not planted anything. But once the seed is planted, the sower can, by faith, tell us that he has a field of corn. Someone can look at him and go out the next day after it rains and it looks like nothing's been planted and tell him that you're crazy. There's no corn in the field. But the sower can say, oh, yes, there is, because I have planted the seed and the seed shall spring forth. The sower has no ability at all to make the seed grow. He has no power over whether the seed will spring forth. The power and the miracle is in the seed itself. See, I want you to understand something. That seed is going to spring forth whether the sower has any faith or not. The only way the seed will not grow is if it's bad seed. Amen? This is why when you see people misrepresent the word of God and nothing comes from it but foolishness, why is that? Because they've used bad seed. That's why. We read two scriptures, and the second one I want to show again, Psalms 126 and verse 6. The one talked about the seed. The next one talked about the sower. We read it in the text. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He told us about the seed after he told us about the sower. Amen. You see, the promise was already there. Actually, I've got that backwards. He told us about the sower a long time after he told us about the seed. And what did that first scripture we read say? He that goeth forth and weeping, the second scripture, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless. Somebody shout, doubtless. No doubt about it. Come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, the will was already there before the call to sow was spoken. The harvest was already spoken before the seed was ever sown. So the sower can know that God has already said, if you'll plant the seed, I'm going to bring forth a harvest. Sometimes we're so shy to share our testimony, are we not? Or sometimes we're too shy to share the word of the Lord with someone because we're afraid nothing's going to happen. But you see, your mind is not thinking right, because the miracle is in the seed. The miracle is not in the person planting the seed. Let me point you back to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Verses 4 through 6, it tells us, whosoever watches the wind is not going to plant. Whoever looks at the clouds is not going to reap. You do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God. I'm telling you, sometimes we get to thinking we understand how everything works. If we do it this way, this is going to happen. If we do it that way, this is going to happen. And we withhold our hand from doing the will of God because we think we know how it's going to work. And the Bible tells us you don't understand the ways of God. Sow your seed in the morning, verse 6 says. And at the evening, let not your hand be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Notice what it says here, and I was using the NIV, that if you watch the wind, you're not going to plant. And if you don't plant, you're certainly not going to reap. There is an aspect of faith involved here. I want you to understand that despite the way things look, despite the way things seem, don't worry about which way the wind is blowing. The word of the Lord tells us again in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 8. It tells us a very interesting scripture. If any provide not for his own family, he has denied the faith. And it's worse than an infidel. And you sit there and say, well, Pastor, I'm living for God. What are you sitting there telling me? So I won't tell you something about another promise of God. back in the book of Psalms, chapter 37 and verse 25. This is one of my favorite scriptures when things are not going too well. When things are difficult, I can point to that scripture and talk to the Lord and say, hey, God, this is what your word says, and you've got to fulfill your word. Come on, amen. It says, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Do you think that God, the reason I read that first scripture about the person that doesn't provide for his house is worse than an infidel, do you think that God is going to put you in the place of an infidel if you're a righteous child of God? Don't worry about which way the wind is blowing. Just worry about one thing, your walk with God. We've got a lot of people today, they want to walk with the Lord any which old way they want to walk with God. Then they wonder why things are going wrong in their life. They wonder why they've got problems. They wonder why they've got difficulty. I'm telling you, child of God, if you'll just worry about your walk with the Lord and live for God, he'll take care of you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to take you and forget about you. But the Bible tells us that your sins have separated you from me. So what you really got to worry about is your walk with the living God. Because if you keep your hands in the hands of the Master and walk with him in uprightness, you can have faith in that very promise that I just quoted, that I've never, everybody say never. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. You know, in one place, the word of the Lord tells he takes the poor and lifts them out of the dunghill. If you're living for God, and you may be low and you may be broke and you may have problems, if you'll concentrate on living for God instead of living for yourself, if you'll concentrate on walking with the Lord in righteousness instead of walking for the Lord in a sinful life, I'm telling you, God is going to lift you out of that dunghill. God is going to lift you up and set you in a higher place. We sing that song, a higher place than I've found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. How do you get there? You get there by living for God with everything you've got. If you sit there and listen to the way the winds blow, you're never going to sow. If you sit there and say, listen to what the newspapers say, America is not a Christian nation. America is this, America is that. They're getting far away from the Lord. You listen to the way the wind's blowing. They say the economy's no good. You can't have a job. You can't have this. You can't have that. You're never going to sow. And if you're never going to sow, you will never going to reap. You see, sowing is more than witnessing to folks about their salvation, about your salvation. It's a very important part. But sowing is also about believing the promises of the Lord in your life. And you let the word of God as it was sow a seed of faith inside of you. And I hate to even use those words because so many people have misrepresented the word of the Lord, but I'm going to tell you the right way to do it. In this scenario, as I said, been much misrepresented. You provide the climate for the seed. You realize that. When the Lord puts something in your heart. I've preached quite a few times about the word. English is a pretty strange language. We drive on parkways and park on driveways. You take your deer out deer hunting to shoot the deer. It doesn't make any sense sometimes. But the word actually has two different meanings in the scripture. One is the logos. That is this. This is the written word of God. You're not going to change the word of the Lord. The Bible says, forever, my word is settled in heaven. You can't change the word. And even if you feel like God is speaking to you and it's different than the word, ain't God. The Bible tells us that the devil comes to us as an angel of light. So God himself will not change his word. But there is also that rhema word of God. You say, well, Pastor, what's the rhema word of God? That's that living word of God. That's when you get down and pray. And you're saying, God, what should I do with my situation, Lord? And the Lord begins to talk to you and say, this is what I want you to do. Just like Peter, the Bible tells us about the disciples. They were out fishing. They fished all night. You know the old Sunday school song, they fished all night and they caught no fish. They fished all night and they caught no fish. And Jesus came up to them and said, throw out your net, cast it on the other side, and you're going to find a big harvest out there. And what did Peter say? He said, we've fished all night. We haven't got anything, Lord, but at thy word. I'm going to cast my net onto the other side. And the word of the Lord tells us that they brought forth a great draught of fishes, a great harvest of fishes that night. That is the rhema word of God. Much like our dear sister there here today, driving around saying, God, would you direct me to a church? What is that? That's the rhema word of God. That's when you get down and pray. Just like, oh, I heard a great story one time. Maybe I shouldn't tell it now, but it's a great story. And but I'll save that for another time. It's about how the Lord uses the devil. But you get down and pray, and God gives you direction. He says, why don't you go over here? You're looking for a job. I want you to go over here. You need this? I want you to go over here. You want to witness to this one? I want you to go over here. That's the rhema word of God, that thing that you get through prayer. Now, I want you to understand something else, that the miracle working power of God is continually in action. You say, well, I don't see it. Think about it. Job 26 and verse 7. How were the planets held in its place? Scripture says in Job 26 and 7, he stretches out the north over the empty place. Isn't it funny that the North Pole is kind of an empty place and all cold? And he hangeth the earth on what? Nothing. You see, all the planets are held by his ever-present miracle power. Every day that you find this world in its right form, you find a miracle happening. Because if you have ever done any studying on science, the balance that is required for it to maintain all this life and all this gravity and all this atmosphere and everything else. I could go into a bunch of scientific facts. I don't want to do that today. But if it was not exactly just the way it should be, we would not be here. Every day, this world is hung on nothing except one thing, the Word of God. Modern science has found that's exactly what the Word is. World is hanging on. It's hanging on nothing. So what holds the world? The Word of God holds the world. He hung this world on nothing. What brought the world into existence? Genesis chapter 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. What happened? What brought this into existence? His Word. So you see then, just by looking at that little example that I've given you, God's miracle power is continuously in action. You're seeing a miracle every day. You can see a miracle in you. Some of you folks, you thought that you were going to get hit by this recession and God has spared you. Why is that? It's because you're seeing a miracle in your life. Miracles are more than healing. We love to see healing. I love to see people healed. I've seen people healed. I will see people healed again. We're going to see some great things, but healing will never save anybody. But you've seen some great miracles of finances in your own life. When people were pronouncing over you, oh, it's getting bad. You're going to lose your job. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. They're talking about the way the wind's blowing. Don't worry about the way the wind's blowing. Just go ahead and keep sowing. Just go ahead and keep working your job. Just go ahead and keep doing what you're going to do. The Bible says, I have seen 1,000 fall by my side, but it's not going to come near me. I won't go far into this today, as I said, but some scientists have been converted to Christianity because they study the universe, and it's just beyond the mathematical comprehension that all this is an accident, and they see the hand of an intelligent being at work, and of course that hand is none other than God. God set some things in order by his word, and his word is powerful enough to maintain what he has spoken. This is why he can look at the sea and say, sea, be still, and that sea is going to calm down. I'll tell you, he didn't tell you he was going to keep you from the troubles and keep you from the, he would give you peace in the midst of the storm. God's got a way of taking your situation and settling it all the way down. You see, God's will is in his word, is it not? When he willed the creation, he spoke the word and it came into existence. If he has already said, I will, then all we have to do is put our will with it. It's really not that hard. The Bible is the living seed, the living word of God. And if we want to partake of the miracle working power of the word, plant the seed of the word of God. Amen? Somebody say amen. It is spirit and it is life. The Apostle Paul tells us in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, he says, in him we live and move and we've got our being. Miracle power can flow through us when our will and God's will merge. And I'm going to show you exactly how that happens. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 16, we've read this. I've preached on this scripture in different ways before, but I want you to think about it in a different way today. It tells us sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. We all know the story of Elijah. He goes and the 400, you know, they offer the sacrifice on the top of the mount. God comes down, takes the sacrifice. The prophets of Baal are killed. And then he looks at Jezebel. Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And so he runs 13 miles. He runs. Lost his faith there for a little bit. But God began to speak to him in the wilderness. Thank God the Lord doesn't leave us. Great is his faithfulness to us. Sometimes we feel like that we've messed up, and sometimes we feel like that we've lost our faith. But I'm telling you, sis, you sang a great song today, because great is the faithfulness of the Lord. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. I'm telling you, church, that he will keep you. He will keep his hand with you if you'll just walk with him. But it tells us in verse 7, sometime later in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 7 through 16, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, go once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. I want you to see what happened here. That's the rhema word of God. Elijah was praying, evidently. I don't know what he was doing. Doesn't tell us a whole what. Just tells us the word of the Lord came. When does the word of the Lord usually come to you? When you're praying? This is why if you don't pray, you're not going to hear from God. Because he's not going to come where he's invited. But when you invite him in, he's going to talk to you. This is that rhema word of God that I was talking about. Verse 10, so what did Elijah do? He said, okay, God. He said he went down to Zarephath. And when he come to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, would you bring me a little water and a jar that I might have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he said, and by the way, just bring me, please, a piece of bread. Now, you got to understand something. This was a drought. There was no water. But this, he knew, was the woman that God told him we're going to feed him. And her response, I love the response. Because her response was basically, we're all going to die. How can I do this? Really, if you read it, that's what it says. As surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread. I've only got a handful of flour in a jar, and I've got a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering just a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it, and then we're going to die. Really? Isn't that interesting that the Lord would tell Elijah that there's a woman out there that has absolutely nothing that's going to feed you? You ever walk into a situation like that? God tells you something and you're sitting there saying, Lord, what am I doing here? Is anybody light bulb going off today? Verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. You can never go wrong by putting the house of the Lord first. Amen. Somebody say amen. He was giving us this principle here. And then make something for yourself, for this is what the Lord God of Israel says. Oh, thank you, sister, honey. I'm sitting up here sweating, and dying, and my wife sees all the sweat running off my brow. She is so wonderful. Praise the Lord. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The jar of flour shall not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. And she went away and did what Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for that woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now read it as you will. I can't find where God told him that this little jar is not going to dry up, that this flour is not going to be used up. And beside that, where was the seed in the story? What happened here? Where did the flour come from? We know that the Bible tells us that she still had flour, she still had oil till the drought was done. But where did that flour? There was no seed planted. Where did the oil come from? There was no olive trees planted. Didn't take any olives and put them in a press and get the oil out. You see, here is the miracle working aspect of the Word of God. When God speaks, you don't have to plant 40 acres of corn and then send it to the mill before filling up the widow's meal barrel. When God speaks, you don't have to grow an olive tree. If you know anything about olive trees, it takes a really long time. There are olive trees that are still alive from the day of Christ. And I believe they say that the olive tree in the Garden of Gethsemane is still the same one. But you don't have to grow an olive tree and then harvest the olives to press the olive into olive oil. He bypassed the cornfield. He bypassed the olive orchard. And I don't read here where God spoke to the widow woman. And I certainly don't read here where God spoke to Elijah and tell him the word of the Lord says that this jar of flour is not going to be used up. The jug of oil is not going to run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. I'm going to tell you why. Because God spoke to the man of God. He spoke to the prophet there. I want you to think about this. When Elijah pronounced what he said, God didn't say that, but he could say that. Why could he say that? He said that because God spoke to him. He had that rhema word of God. God gave him a word, told him that I'm going to send you to this widow woman of Zarephath, and she's going to feed you until the drought's over. So Elijah just simply had faith in what God told him. And that's why he could stand there and tell her, this jar of flour is not going to be used up. And the jug of oil is not going to run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. I want to tell you something. It had nothing to do with the widow's faith. It had to do with her obedience. Because her faith said, I'm going to die. I've got my casket picked out. I've got my little stone here. They're going to put me in the casket, roll me in the cave, put the stone on. There's going to be the end of me because we're not going to live. Not possible. But the prophet came and said, God spoke to me that you're going to take care of me. That jar of flour is not going to run dry. Had nothing to do with the widow's faith. It had to do with her obedience, and it had to do with the prophet's faith. And the prophet's faith, as I said, was based on that living word, that rhema word of God. The reason we see things go awry is because men speak out of their own heart and not from what God told them. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 16 through 17 says, to wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, which see visions of peace for her. And there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of what? Out of their own heart. prophesy thou against them. You can live in this world today, and there's a bunch of people walking around saying, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet. And prophets are speaking, or so-called prophets are speaking. My humble opinion, if somebody has to sit there and say, I'm a prophet, they ain't no more prophet than you're a car. Because if you're a prophet, God's going to honor you. And you don't have to tell anybody anything. All these people that run around sitting there saying, I'm this and I'm that. Why are they sitting there saying that? God's not behind them. Because when God is in something, he's going to show he's in something. Let me give you a quick and easy way. We're running into the time towards the coming of the Lord where there are going to be miracles and there are going to be signs, and we're going to have trouble understanding the difference between things that are of God and things that are not of God. You see, the Bible tells us that the devil has his own signs and lying wonders. Does it not? It sure does. I didn't look up the scripture today. It's there. Go ahead and look it up. But let me give you a quick two-step easy way to identify. Number one, they don't prophesy judgment, only smooth things that are good to the ear. Why is it you got everybody, you'll have these big meetings, and they got people sitting there calling out, God's going to heal you, God's going to heal you, God's going to heal you, God's going to heal you. Not that, you know what, I'm sorry, but you're going to die. I know of a case of a man up in Connecticut, one of these guys come along, prophesied to him, he had a knot behind his ear, and he prophesied to him, God has healed you, and he died sometime later of brain tumor, some kind of tumor there, and it killed him. You see, a real prophet, you got to watch out for somebody that's real. Then I will tell you some things that you don't want to know. They're going to uncover your deepest, darkest secrets. Number two, their ministry glorifies who? Them. Not the Lord. God has spoken and said in many places, my glory I'm not going to give to another. And when someone takes the glory of the Lord, that's an identifying mark that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They may be on their way out. They may kind of still be halfway in there, but you cannot take the glory of the Lord and sit there and say, look what I've done, look what I am. I can heal you, I can do this, I can do that. That's not of God. You sit there and say, well, you're kind of getting me down. You're talking about the miracle of the seed. I am talking about the miracle of the seed. I want you to see how it comes. Elijah was able to use that miracle there because God spoke to him. Elijah did not prophesy out of his own spirit and say, okay, woman, you know, you're going to go ahead and never hunger since this, you know, whatever the case is. We got a lot of people running around like this. They say that we possess the gifts of the Spirit. No, we don't. The gifts of the Spirit possess the believer. Not like a demonic possession, but we are used of the Spirit. We don't use the Spirit. You understand the difference there? I hope you do. He spoke those words of faith because God had told him, she's going to feed you. And I hope that you're seeing something here today. The woman believed the prophet and she acted in obedience. How do I know? Because the word says that she went away and did what Elijah told her to do. The prophet's survival was dependent upon God providing for this widow woman. Well, I've got something for you now. See, about 5 years ago, I think it was, maybe it's 5.5 years ago now, four and a half to five and a half years ago, God began to talk to me, Brother Soon. You remember we had this long discussion, you and Brother Rick, and we're talking about I was going to quit my job. I was only 7 years from retirement. And I began to fast, and I began to pray. I began to say, God, I really want to be sure that this is you. And the Lord told me he was going to take care of me. And I really seriously sought him. And he told me that he was going to take care of me. Everything was going to be all right. This church was going to do just fine. And I'm kind of like Elijah here, not that I'm any prophet or anything, but I'm talking about my survival depends upon God providing for the church. So I'm going to tell you now, don't be afraid to believe the promises of God. because God is going to provide for you. Don't worry about the way the wind is blowing when you sow, because I got a word from the Lord that He's going to take care of me. If He's going to take care of me and you're walking with the Lord, He's going to take care of you. Somebody say amen. I want you to understand that the Word is at work. It is at work in the heavens, and it is as it is on the earth. It's also at work on the earth. We live and we actually move. The Word of God supports this whole place, this whole thing that we're doing. God's miracle power works day and night, 24 hours a day. We just don't see it plainly manifested. We think miracle, we think cancer falling off. We think no. Sometimes God moves in different ways. Sometimes God moves in different ways. It doesn't strain God to provide for you. It doesn't strain God to perform a miracle. Now, there are some times, if you pray for your healing, that you may not get your healing because God has told you He's not going to give you your healing. But if God speaks to you and tells you, I'm going to heal you, you can stand on what the Lord has said. And I guess, if I can be bold enough to say, if God spoke to me, but I've had God heal people without telling me about it, just go and pray in. Just go pray for them. I've seen God heal people. We've got miracles in this congregation. Cancer and crippled limbs do not hinder God. What hinders God is sin and unbelief. He is just simply waiting for someone to plant a seed of faith, as it was, to step out of a sinful life and to begin to believe the promises of God. One of the greatest miracles is a poor sinner receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but in Joel chapter 2, I believe it is verse 28, Brother Tayo, it tells us, in the last days, God's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see visions, and upon my handmaidens, exactly how was that go? And the last day, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit. We can find in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, where it talks about, I'm going to give them and take out the stony heart, and I'm going to put a new heart into them. It tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come and they were all in one place, there suddenly the same came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it fell on all of them that were sitting in the house. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. You can find in many different places He's talking about receiving the Spirit of God, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. This was a poor sinner boy 30 years ago. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I came to that altar and I was bound. I was bound by drugs and I was bound by the bottle. I was bound by cigarettes. I got down at that altar and I began to pray. See, this is one of the greatest miracles that you can see, is when God takes a person that's a sinner and changes them and turns them into a child of God. Some may say he's just a sinner when somebody comes to pray at the altar. It will not do him any good to plant the seed of the Word of God. Oh, man, I could tell you a story about a man that I went to church with. I got the Holy Ghost. He couldn't believe that I got the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad that he didn't have to plant a seed of faith inside of me. Because if you're a child of God, if you're a sinner, I don't care who you are, you can just simply believe the Word of God. Thank God a sinner or a backslider doesn't have to plant a seed to have somebody plant a seed for them. They can plant their own seed by faith, and that seed will come up for them just as the corn is going to come up for anybody that plants it. I cannot stop your faith. You hear what I'm saying today? We read this, perhaps they read the scripture in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then they look up and they say, God, you said it. It's in your word. That's what I did the night that God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I read and I had never heard of the Holy Ghost before. I never heard about speaking in tongues. I never heard about baptism in Jesus' name. The preacher was preaching. I looked in the Bible. It was there. And I said, God, you said I could have it. And I looked up to heaven and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Because I had that seed that was planted inside of me by faith. And when the seed is planted, it's going to spring forth. You cannot stop that cornfield from growing. You cannot stop things from happening. You may go out and witness to folks and say, it's not going to do anything. Well, I tell you something, it's not by your faith that it's going to happen, because your faith has absolutely nothing to do with it, because God has ordained that when you plant the seed, something's going to come forth. You look up at God and you say, Lord, you said if I confess my sins that you're going to forgive me. And that man or that woman receives forgiveness for their sins. Then they find the scripture on baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then they just say, that's what I want to do. You know, when I read about that, I said, I was baptized as a baby, but I was never baptized in Jesus' name. And let me tell you something. Jesus is the name. The name of Jesus has power. You can read it. Go ahead and put it up in Acts 2:38, Brother Tayo. We recently baptized Brother Tayo in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, because there's power in the name. What does it say? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can take that seed right there, Brother Tayo. You can say, God, you said I could have the Holy Ghost. God, I'm going to stand at your word. God, just fill me with your spirit. Hallelujah. I think God wants to break in on us today. That old sinner boy finds the scriptures on baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, goes down in the watery grave just like I did 30 years ago and 3 months, and his sins are remitted. They plant the seed. You can plant the seed simply by responding to the word of God in faith. And that seed, depending on the climate, I talked to you about a climate. You got to provide the climate. It's a very simple climate. Just praise the Lord, worship the Lord, and just sit there and say, I believe God. I believe that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. I tell you what, I feel like I'm preaching a camp meeting today. Something has broken in this place. Something has broke. You just hang on. You say, well, I don't feel it. That's all right. I'm glad it's not by your seed, that your faith, that the seed's going to spring forth, because the Lord is going to do what he wants to do despite what we think. Hallelujah. If a sinner or a backslider can plant their own seed and get results, oh, church, I'm telling you, how much more can the child of God that has access to the entire Bible, that can sit down and pray and have the rhema word of God come to them? They've got to walk with God, believe the things the Lord has spoken into their heart. Sister E, why don't you come? That are not. Of their own vision. There have been people over the years that have told my wife that God's going to heal her ears. I'm going to tell you, when your healing is going to come, when God tells you it's time. Because you can pray and you can have a walk with the Lord all by yourself. You don't have to have anybody plant any kind of seed in your of faith in your heart. You can just sit there, and by the preaching of the word of God, God can speak to you and say, it's time, honey. It's time, my daughter, it's time that I'm going to take and I'm going to heal you. He's well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. I know there's some folks here today, God is talking to you right now. Maybe you've never received the Holy Ghost before. You've never had the Spirit of God poured out in your life before. And you're saying, Lord, you said it, I can have it. Would you fill me with it right now? God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. You may be sitting there struggling with something that I have. You know, God don't show me everything. Sometimes the Lord does. But God don't show me everything. You may be struggling with some things, and you may be sitting there saying, I'm not going to survive. I'm not going to live. I'm going to be like the widow woman of Zarephath. But I'm going to tell you like I told you before. If you will just worry about your walk with God, and you will walk with the Lord in righteousness, you're not going to go down. Because I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. The thing you got to worry about is your walk with God. Let's all stand. My wife is going to sing. Won't you let the Lord talk to you a little bit? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody's got some seed that's going to bring forth right now. There's some things that have been spoken in this Word of God during the preaching of the Word that are breaking forth right now. If you'll just provide the climate that just simply says, I believe the Lord. I believe that His Word says that I can do these things. I believe that the Word of God has spoken to me. And if God has spoken to you some kind of outside of the Word of God and it contradicts the Word of God, it's not God. But if He's spoken to you and there's nothing to contradict the Word, you can believe the promises of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you bow your heads? Oh God. My refuge in time of trouble, God is. He's my refuge and strength. My refuge in time of trouble. Well, He's gonna hide me under the rock. Under the rock. Well, under the rock, He will hide me. Under the rock, safe in His time of trouble. My refuge in time of trouble, God is. He's my refuge and strength. My refuge in time of trouble.
Well, He will hide me under the rock.
Well, under the rock.
Oh.
Just like that widow woman of Zarephath.
Under the rock.
There may have been a drought. There may have been a famine going through the land. But when your hand is in the hand of the Lord, it doesn't matter which way the wind is blowing. It doesn't matter because you just got to sow. You just got to sow in faith and believe the promises of God. And God is able to fulfill His word. Amen. My Brother Rick, why don't you come?
My refuge in time of trouble.
Well,
He will hide me under the rock, under the rock, under the rock. He will hide me under the rock, safe in the time of trouble. Refuge and strength, my refuge in time of trouble, God is my refuge and strength, my refuge in time of trouble. He will hide me under the rock.
Tell the widow woman, bring me a morsel of bread in thy hand when thou comest. Bringing him a gift of life, that she may live by honoring the word of God. And she did just that. She was ready to die. Amen. She was going to eat her last meal, and she said she was going to die because she looked at the problem. But right in the background, God was there. Amen. And he said, bring me in your hand a gift. But she said, I don't have enough for you, for my son and myself. I don't have enough. He said, nevertheless, give me first. Amen. When all that we have doesn't seem enough to do what we want to do with it, give to the Lord first. Amen. Plant that seed. But today, I believe strong in my heart that God is talking to some of us today. And he wants us to plant that seed in baptism. In my heart, I feel strongly that some of us are running from him and saying, not yet. I got to straighten my life first. It's only him can give the increase. For out of your belly shall flow rivers of water. Let us plant that seed. Don't run. Let us stand up and fight. Not being ashamed. Not wavering. Holding on strong on his word. Being steadfast. Looking up unto him in his word. Last week you heard the preacher said, in the situation that he was in, with two packs of cigarette in his pocket, he went forth to the altar. He didn't wait to give up smoking. He went to the altar with two packs of cigarette in his pocket, hoping and trusting God would change him and change his situation. And it did. Don't run from him. It's a trick of the devil to tell us, let us wait. But God is not saying to wait. He said, today. Today. You heard a wonderful message in planting a seed and seeing it grow. You are the soil. The Bible said it's true. You are the soil. For he said the word, the seed is the word, and the soil, where it fall on, is the heart of the man. Amen? And some fall on good soil, on good ground. You are that ground. I believe that he wants to bless some of us. But we're running. To whom shall we go? The Bible said that if we sow in righteousness, we shall reap righteousness. Amen? Paul said that. If we sow in the flesh, we're going to reap the flesh. And we all know that the flesh has nothing for us. We live in it, but we shall not die in it. Amen? We live in this flesh. But we shall not die in this flesh if we believe. It's the same God that set the world in nothing. The same God that is spoke in Genesis, spoke in Matthew, in Mark the second chapter and said, repent and believe the gospel. It's the same God.
If you don't mind, if you've got some, Brother Soon, I'd like you to come, and Brother Rick, we're going to pray for you. If you've got something that you're trying to believe God for, that you just want that seed to come forth in your life, I'm not talking about, you know, something crazy, but God has spoken to you, and you just want that little bit of extra help, why don't you come, and we're anoint you, we're going to pray for you, ask the touch of God in your life, and my wife is going to sing, and why don't you just step out by faith and believe what God has spoken to you today.
Come believing. He is ready. He is able. It's the same God that set the world in order and put all things existing today and tell the ocean not to move and be still on the sun, the shore. It's the same God that's saying to be repent. The same God said to repent and believe the gospel. Amen. Believe on him. Believe all that he said that he is able to do. Not wavering, not doubting anything. Asking him also to help you with your unbelief if you have any doubt in your heart that he is able to do what he said. Would bless you tremendously.
Like rain as we lift our praises to your name. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give me 2 more minutes. I just want to share a testimony with you. Is that okay? It's a testimony about the time I came in this country many years ago. And I came to this country, I was baptized already, so I was a Christian. And that Sunday, I decided to go to church. But I wasn't working. The little money I had it in my pocket. I was living by a friend. So the only place I could keep it was in my pocket. I would walk with it. But I had small bills and big bills. And that Sunday I chose to go to church, the word of the Lord came to me and saying, walk with the small bills. But the small bills wasn't valuable, so I walked with the big bills in my pocket. Because I wanted to keep, you know, my possession close to me. I was not living in my own place. I was living by a friend. And there were many other people there. And when I went to church that day, they made a special call to give an offering. Special offering. And mind you, this is, I'm just in this country and I haven't been working or anything. So the little money I had was, you know, to sustain me, you know. And when I look, I had no small bills to put into the offering. I only had the big bills. Then the click in my head why the Lord was saying to walk with the small bills. Amen. It was just simply wanted something to give him a gift. But I put the big bill. Nevertheless, I put the big bill, one of the big bill. And the person sitting next to me, when she saw I put it into the offering, she said, wow, so much. She said, wow, so much. For I knew that person. And I look at her and I smile. I never answer her. But the Lord said to me that he's going to bless me for the small bill. What he told me to walk with, not what I put. So I didn't listen to him. It cost me much more, but I received the same blessing. Amen. Let us not be ashamed or be afraid. I just want to share that to you because when we seem to hold on to what we have. And it is so precious to us. Even not only in our finance, but in the things that we enjoy. Like our habits. Like the things that we do. It is so precious to us. And all he's asking for is to give it to him. For he has something greater, more joy than you can imagine he will give to you. It not only have to be the finance in your pocket. It is something in your life that is you holding on to. You love it so much that you don't want to let it go because it gives you joy. You enjoy it. It could be anything. I urge you today, give it to him. Give it all to Jesus. Because you know what pleasure or what joy or how valuable that is to you. But the only thing you doesn't know is that what you could receive if you give that thing up or if you give it to him. And I assure you, from my experience, it's greater. What you give is not valuable. You cannot compare what you're going to receive, for you're going to receive much more. For he said he'll give you 100-fold, and 100-fold is not, you see, when we look at the word of God, some of us Most of the time we measure it in finance. He will give you 100-fold. We measure it financially. It's not always financially. For the greatest riches in this whole world is loving God. Amen. And the second to that, I would say, is your health. Amen. For what shall it profit a man to gain this whole world and lose his own soul? The greatest riches is loving God. I know a man who had a settlement of an insurance accident. He got millions of dollars, but he cannot walk. And he said, Rick, if I could walk, I'd give back every cent I receive. So when he's going to bless you, let us not look at just the financial part of it. Let's say that man is blessed financially. But what good is the money to him when he cannot use it? Let us look at the Lord in all aspects. You heard a wonderful message today from Pastor. Sowing that seed. There's an old song say, when I was a kid, I used to sing it. It said, sowing the precious seed, that reaping time is coming by and by, and someday in glory you will find me shouting and rejoicing. For I have sown the precious seed. Amen. Shall we stand? Nothing in this life is by chance. We believe in God. The Bible said, believe in Christ also. Amen. It is He who leads us. He said, we are the sheep of His pasture, and He leads us. So we didn't have do this or do that by chance, but by His guidance. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your word, your beautiful word today, Lord. Your word that resides in our heart today, Father. Your word that will give us strength. Your word that brings peace to the hearer today. Your word that brings joy in our heart. And your word that blesses us today, O Lord. We ask thee, O Father, to give us thy strength, thy love, and thy understanding, Lord. That we would cleave to these words, Lord. Your word that said, Lord, that you set the earth in place, Lord, out of nothing. Lord, your word that said that you created all things. Your word that said that we should plant a seed, Lord. For it is you that give the increase, Lord. It is you that water it, Lord. It is you that tell the seed to grow. It is you that give it shape and body, Lord. It is you, O Lord, that we look up to. We ask thee, O Lord, today to let your word be in our heart, Lord, and to help us to understand thy word, that we would love thee through thy word, Lord, not for the things that you do, so much for the things that you do for us, Lord, but because of your word. Your word that will ever settle, Lord, in heaven, but let it settle in our heart also, Lord, that we would cleave to it. We would walk by it. We would talk of it, Lord. We would rejoice in it, Lord. We'll be glad of it, Lord. It will bring joy to our air, Lord. Plant our feet on solid ground. Oh, Lord, I say to renew our mind, Lord, in thee. Let us walk with thee, Lord. Talk with us, Lord. Hold our hands, I pray. Let us be patient with us, Lord. Holding back on your wrath, Lord. Let in your peace be in our life. Let us honor you in words and in deeds, Lord. Doing that which is right, Lord. Loving that which is good. Cleaving to you, Lord. The only source of our life, Lord. The strength of our life is you, Father. We bless you today. We thank you for your visitation. We thank you for the souls that hear your word today. We thank you for all the goodness in our life in this, from this day for the coming week, Lord. We lift our voice. We honor you, Lord. Hear the voice of thy people, Lord. Hearken to their voice today, Lord. Encourage, give them strength that they may encourage themselves in thee, Lord. Not being afraid of anything, Lord, but to love you first in our life, Lord. Thanking you, Lord, in all things. As we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. And we bless thee. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Remember Thursday night? Prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, 7:45. And Saturday morning prayer at 6 a.m. For those of you who can make it, the doors are open. For those of you who can't make it, make an effort. Amen? You're dismissed.